This is Agriculture Today.
Well, Texas livestock producers facing a heightened biosecurity threat as New World screwworm detections in northern Mexico coincide with FDA approval of the first topical treatment designed to combat both screwworm and cattle fever tick. The product arriving at a critical moment, USDA recently confirmed a second screwworm case at a Nuevo León feedlot only 120 miles south of the Texas border. Now, while Texas remains free of detection, state officials warn that livestock movement, wildlife traffic, and existing fever tick pressure is increasing vigilance. While the FDA's approval does give producers a new fast-acting tool that's absorbed through the skin and approved for calves, heifers, bulls, and lactating cows, Texas Commissioner of Ag Sid Miller called the decision a landmark step for herd protection, emphasizing coordination with USDA, Mexican authorities, and state partners to prevent northward spread. Officials urging producers near the border to monitor animals carefully for unhealed wounds or maggot activity and to report suspicious cases immediately. Farm finances tightened across the Chicago Federal Reserve 7th District in the third quarter, with ag bankers reporting higher loan delinquencies, even as farmland values posted modest year-over-year gains. Chicago's Fed ag letter, led by policy advisor David Opedal, found credit conditions weakening further, while crop farms remain pressed by narrow margins and rising costs. Corn and bean prices did improve slightly late in the quarter, offering some limited relief to crop producers who continue to face competition from Brazil and elevated input expenses, bankers noting that weaker cash earnings expected for most crop farms and dairy operations. Well, farmers across the United States have seen major shifts in irrigation patterns over the past 25 years. That's according to new USDA Economic Research Service data. While total irrigated land did decline slightly from 56.3 million in 97 to 54.9 million in 2022, the national total masks sharp regional expansions and contractions that have been driven by water availability, drought, and production needs. Western states recording some of the steepest losses. California's irrigated acreage fell from 8.8 to 8.2 million acres. Texas lost nearly 2 million. And then some counties also saw declines tied to urban expansion. Now, in contrast, several eastern and even Delta states expanded irrigation to stabilize yields under increasingly unreliable rainfall. Nebraska rose from 7 to 8 million irrigated acres. Arkansas added more than a million, surpassing Texas in 2012 as the third largest irrigated state. Looking ahead, the ERS notes long-term water trends will shape where irrigation remains viable. It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
This is actually our 15th year of doing this report.
Alexander Grabois is Manager Global Strategies and Trade with the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council.
What we do with this report is we collect samples from throughout the Corn Belt, this time at the time of harvest, and then we also do these lab analyses where we're able to essentially see the quality of the corn and create a sense of prediction or ways for us to communicate to our stakeholders where we can really communicate in a transparent way how the corn crop is looking so that our customers or purchasers know what they're getting down the line.
Again, he's referring to the Corn Harvest Quality Report.
We were definitely very happy with the report this year. I think we had a lot of positives once again, so it's nice to have a couple good ones in a row. But this report is one of two that we do every year, so the Harvest Report, which came out last week. And then we have a complimentary report called the Corn Export Cargo Report, which comes out in mid-March. And that report essentially takes the same model, but does it at the point of export, so we're able to see how it develops throughout the export.
The 15th annual report from the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council can be used in many different ways.
What we do is, after this report is published and we have it translated depending on the market, we do things called corn quality rollouts, where it'll be either through a webinar, conferences, or just sometimes one-on-one meetings with customers where we present the findings of this report. And it really plays towards showing us how essentially the long-term stability of our export channel, as well as the transparency that we have, so that when we have a good year, we're able to report it as such. And when we have off years, we can explain why and really give the full transparency. For our customers, it's very important that they receive this information so that it helps them make the best purchasing decisions, and we can answer any questions that they have regarding the possible corn crop that they receive. So it's a great way for us to continue to build the relationship and build the long-term trust with our customers.
So what are the results?
Of course. So this was, happy to report that this was the largest corn harvest on record to this point. And when we look at this, and I believe it was very similar last year, this year was the highest, where we had 186 bushels per acre. So about 11.7 metric tons per hectare. And last year was a similarly high number. This year was higher, of course. But what we found is that you'll see that it has a large yield, but we're also maintaining quality. We saw that about 87% of the samples that we received qualified to be U.S. number one corn. About 97.8% qualified to be U.S. number two corn, which is the standard that many exporters use when they contract. So it's great to see that we had that essentially complete panorama. What we did see as far as the harvest notes, by mid-November, 91% was completed. This was compared to about 93 or 94% the year prior. But overall, we were very happy to see the harvest notes. Some things that we had noticed, for example, was the lowest BCFM on record, broken corn foreign material. The test weight was very similar to the five-year average, and the test weight has been pretty high, and that's a great indicator to show grain quality, kernel size, as well as just durability.
BCFM. What is it?
When we speak about the broken corn and foreign material, typically allowed 3% broken corn. And our customers certainly ask a lot of questions about it because the U.S. corn is a little bit softer, it is more susceptible to breakage, and it will look a little dusty compared to other origins, but that doesn't mean that there's quality issues, and that doesn't mean it's a poor performing corn. So at the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council, we've been working on a wide portfolio of projects that show how to best manage broken corn foreign material, whether it be through animal nutrition, grain storage, as well as other processes such as wet milling and animal feed milling.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
My request is actually a fairly simple one to the budget committee. I'd actually like you to use as much real math in your projections.
Arizona Representative David Schweikert at the House Budget Committee's Member Day.
Our great sin is we don't tell the truth. What drives U.S. sovereign debt? You know, I want to blame the Democrats. Democrats want to blame me. It's interest and demographics. We functionally have the same number of 18-year-olds today as we had 20 years ago. To understand the scale of what's going on. And my proof of concept is very simple. Go back to the beginning of this calendar year and the numbers that you and I, we all went around and around and around on. Where are we at? Okay, moment of honesty. So where's what, 72, 73 days into this fiscal year? From October 1st till just before Christmas, we're going to borrow another $1 trillion. So far this fiscal year, now look, there's timing effects. There's the bubble. There's when certain tax receipts come in. But the fact of the matter is, even annualized, we're over $71,000 a second in borrowing. This fiscal year, we're like $148,000 a second borrowing. The left wants to say it's tax cuts. We want to say it's excessive spending. It's everything. Simple, basic math. You add up, and I've done floor speech after presentation after floor speech, add up every scored tax hike the left has offered, you get 1.5% of GDP. Almost every cut you and I have advocated for, I get about 1% of GDP. We got ourselves a big 2.5. We tell the truth for the internal borrowing, because we've got to pay back the internal borrowing with interest. We borrowed almost 7.3% of the entire GDP last year. So if I 7 here and the left and the right's total solutions only coming in at 2.5, you now have a government that is an insurance company with an army. We're actually working on a data set right now. It says the liabilities and unfunded liabilities of the United States exceed all wages for the future. In 7 years, the Medicare trust fund is empty. In 7 years, the Social Security trust fund is empty. If you intend to take that out of the general fund, as some of our colleagues on the left, okay, it's, we calculate that as first year, so 2033, $630 billion. So functionally 60% of the entire defense budget. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's demographics. It makes it very hard for those of us who come to you, go on the floor, go to our own committees and say there's revolutions in technology. We've tried to provide that there's optimism. If obesity, and I'm just going to do this one because it's easy, but there's dozens of these, is we've calculated is 9.1 trillion additional healthcare costs over 10 years. 9.1 trillion. So functionally the entire defense budget. And remember, defense now is number 5 in spending. Not number 1, it's number 5 in spending. What the president did last week on access to glue tights and those things, we're actually sort of modeling what would its economic impacts be. Beg of you, no more 1990s sounding solutions coming from the left or the right. Synthetic biology, AI, robotics, tax code, regulatory code, removing the barriers of innovation. So many of the things that would crash the price of healthcare are illegal because we put up barriers to the very technology that would provide access, make things cheaper, healthier. I know it pisses off the army of lobbyists outside this door. Maybe time we tell the truth about the math and also the fact there's a way to make it work. We don't have much more time, but in 8 years, 9 years, 30% of all U.S. tax receipts is just interest. If interest rates go up 1%, 45% of all U.S. tax receipts in 9 years are interest. This year, for every dollar we take in, we're going to spend $1.43. Every solution you're going to hear here is based on math that I believe is not a truthful, and we're not being bold enough.
It's Agriculture Today.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
This is Agriculture Today.
About China, with one of the largest purchases ever in our country, the soybeans.
President Donald Trump holding a cabinet-level meeting at the White House with Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
I want to thank President Xi. We had a great meeting. We were in South Korea, and I went to a lot of other places, too, but we met in South Korea, and President Xi was great. And China gave us among the largest orders in the history of your world, agriculture.
That's right. So. And, sir, may I say, this is the remarkable result of real leadership and your real leadership. Just a couple of days ago, China announced that they were going to halt all purchases from Brazil because they had found some irregularities in some of the soybeans they're buying from Brazil. And what that means is a continued signal that this country and our farmers produce the best, highest quality soybeans, sorghum, et cetera, in the world. And what you've been able to do is open those markets up and, again, move toward an era where our farmers are not so reliant on government checks, but they have the markets to sell the product. Having said that, we do have a bridge payment we'll be announcing with you next week as we're still trying to recover from the Biden
to
years.
Help them. Yeah.
That's right.
To help the farmers. We're going to help the farmers. They did not help the farmers.
That's right.
U.S. Treasury Secretary is Scott Bessent.
It's been a great year on the economy, but the best is yet to come. The tens of trillions of dollars that have come in investment, both the portfolio investment, investment by companies, investment by countries, that is turning into a CapEx boom for the U.S. Capital expenditures up 15% in history. When CapEx is up, jobs will follow. The one big beautiful bill is an incredible, as you said, thanks to your leadership, along with Speaker Johnson, Senator Leader Thune, we had that done on July 4th, which everyone said was impossible. And the great thing about that bill, sir, for the American people, it's for industry, 100% expensing, build your factory here, you can write it off immediately. But you also insisted on the four benefits for working people, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security, auto deductibility for American cars, and that is retroactive. So as a result, in 2026, we are going to see very substantial tax refunds in the first quarter. So the best way to address the affordability crisis is to give Americans more money in their pockets, which is what this bill has done. We're going to see real wage increases. You know, I think next year is going to be a fantastic year. Taxes, deregulation, energy certainty. That's why everyone with your leadership is coming to America. Bond market had its best year since 2020. Everyone said it couldn't be done. So we're going to have growth. We've had 2 4% quarters before the Schumer shutdown. We're going to go back to that. So not only are we going to have great growth, but it's going to be low inflationary growth. And stock market obviously is following, but next year is going to be the year for Main Street as all this kicks in. And you came in, immigration, I called it the three I's, immigration, interest rates, and inflation, that were killing the American people. Close the border, they have promised kept. Interest rates are down, and 10-year bond, again, best year since 2020, and inflation led by energy prices is going to roll next year. I think it's going to be a fantastic year. That we can look back, be very proud of this year, but I think 2026 is going to be great for the American people, thanks to you.
It's going to be great.
It's Agriculture Today.
Attention farmers, Jim and Jody Johnson are retiring and their premium equipment is heading to Purple Wave's December 30th Ag Auction. Don't miss their 2024 John Deere ExactEmerge 1775 NT Planter and 2019 John Deere S760 Combine. This retirement auction features well-maintained machinery that's been part of a successful farming operation with equipment located in Osage, Iowa. Everything sells. Absolute no reserve to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com for details. Purple Wave Auction, straight, simple, sold.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
There's a lot of concern right now. It's not only China and other adversarial countries, but it's out-of-state organizations that are buying our farmland right now. I mean, I truly believe, you're right, if we want to keep our farmland, Iowa farmland, Midwest farmland, it belongs to the farmers, and we got to keep it with the farmers. We got to bring it down to the next generation.
Member of the House Ag Committee and House Ways and Means Committee from the 4th District of Iowa, Randy Feenstra.
So there's two things that need to happen. Number one is, in the big, beautiful bill, we exempted $15 million of tax, meaning you can pass that land on to the next generation without getting a tax bill of 40%. And we exempted $15 million of it. But number two is, we have to make sure that China and other adversarial countries are not buying our land. So we have created policy also in the big, beautiful bill that sort of prevents that from happening. It's a big concern. In North Dakota, as many people know, China bought land next to our Air Force base. All right. That's a big, big security issue. And we have had several instances in Iowa where they have got caught stealing our genetics and things like that. So we have to protect what we have in the Midwest and in Iowa. And that's why it's so important that we enforce the laws and make sure that China and other adversarial countries are not buying our land.
He is at a unique crossroads.
I'm the only member of Congress to sit on Ways and Means. So Ways and Means handles all tax, all trade, and some health care. And then I also sit on the Ag Committee. So it all goes together. And you start thinking about what it means, not only for Iowa, but for the rest of the country, our export markets. You know, if you ask most farming community, they really don't want subsidies. We'd rather have markets for our corn, soybeans, cotton, wheat, cattle, hogs, dairy, you name it. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create markets. We did something with China. You think about what happened with China, and all of a sudden our beans hit a 16-month high. We're hopefully to see that with other commodities like corn and other products. But it's all growing our export markets, whether that be now we just did something with Bangladesh, did something with Japan, Taiwan, the Philippines, hopefully India's very shortly. These are great opportunities to keep those commodity prices up. Because what we all know, whether it be the Midwest or anywhere, is that agriculture is really the backbone of not only our state, but the rest of our country. And if agriculture is successful, then the rest of our country is successful. Our main streets, our hospitals, our schools are all successful. So it all goes hand in hand. And that's why I'm so passionate about growing agriculture.
So why is he so optimistic?
First of all, on the input side, we have to make sure that we can lower input costs. We just did that with potash and phosphate to lower or to take them and create a critical mineral list for them so we can get rid of the red tape so we can make them in Iowa to reduce the seed costs, all right, another input cost. Right? There's things that we can do to, first of all, reduce the inputs. And then there's also the opportunity of having an extreme export market and create for when you talk about cattle and hogs and dairy is to create refrigeration infrastructure around the world in developing countries. You know, if we want to sell these products into Africa and other countries, we got to have the refrigeration to do that. So we are currently working with that farm bill and hoping that's in that farm bill. But these are the pieces that are needed to continue to grow the economic growth in agriculture. And Iowa, you know, to me, we are the foundation. We are the key component of making that happen. And whether it be cattle or hogs, eggs, you know, we're the leaders in the country on eggs, and we're just doing a tremendous job. But we also have to make sure that the avian bird flu does not continue to happen. And so we're working with Iowa State University to make sure that gets stopped. So these are all aspects of what Iowa has. We have the vet lab right in Iowa. Just the great components and foundations to create agriculture as the number one economic industry in our country.
It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
98% of the $125 trillion in unfunded liability on our books today, that cumulative unfunded liability or deficit spending is coming from two programs.
Jody Arrington is chairman of the House Budget Committee.
Social Security and Medicare. They're critical programs. One will be insolvent, as Vice Chair Smucker mentioned, within 10 years. There aren't just debt deniers, they're insolvency deniers. And I appreciate the leadership and courage of my Democrat colleague, Scott Peters, who in that hearing said, we do nothing. We are consigning our seniors to a 20% cut in benefits. So I'm excited about this opportunity.
The Budget Committee held a Member Day hearing on Wednesday. Member of the House Ag Committee from Indiana, Dr. Jim Baird.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for hosting this member hearing and for the opportunity to outline my priorities related to strengthening budget process. I want to highlight an example where our budget process fell short. Section 781 of the recent continuing resolution and appropriations bills, specifically the provision redefining him, regardless of how many member feels about the underlying policy, the process by which the provision became part of the must-pass appropriations bill reveals several weaknesses, and this is the committee that is uniquely positioned to address this issue. Since the 2018 Farm Bill, American farmers invested significant resources to build a domestic supply chain of hemp. Many use hemp as a rotational crop in diversity income at a time when farm families urgently need stability. And yet Section 781 was added without regular order, without hearings, and without allowing the committee's jurisdiction to evaluate scientific, economic, and regulatory consequences. This is precisely the type of process failure that erodes confidence in our budgeting process. This issue at hand is not whether consumer protections are needed. I firmly believe that we should establish a clear regulatory framework that protects consumers from harm without undermining legitimate and small businesses, penalizing farmers, or effectively outlawing an entire industry. States like Indiana, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Georgia have already enacted responsible age restrictions, packaging standards, and testing requirements. Meanwhile, the House Energy and Commerce Committee and the Senate Health Committee have ongoing work examining safety concerns and FDA authority. That's where this debate belongs. By inserting a sweeping policy change into an appropriations vehicle, we bypassed the expert input, we ignored alternative proposals, and denied farmers and stakeholders the opportunity to be heard. And by shutting down the responsible businesses that currently comply with state regulations, we risk empowering the very bad actors who evade safety rules and target minors. This committee has long warned about policy writers and circumvent both transparency and accountability. Section 781 provides a clear example of how significant industry-wide policy decisions can be slipped into a must-pass bill without scrutiny. Going forward, I recommend the committee strengthen the guardrails preventing major statutory changes from being inserted into continuing resolutions or omnibus bills. Secondly, redefine the budget calendar to reduce the reliance on last-minute CRs. And three, establish enforcement mechanisms ensuring committees of jurisdiction have adequate time and process to evaluate complex regulatory issues before they appear.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.